Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Are we just at the start of a longer rally? Is the essential market narrative now a rotation out of COVID-19 beneficiaries to momentum or value stocks? Well, shares open mixed today across Asia after the value of global equities surged by $6 trillion in November. Investors, though, do seem to be surveying the worsening coronavirus situation in many large economies, wondering about future lockdowns. And it seems to be tempering the initial rally on the news of a 90% an effective COVID vaccine. Of course, there are worries about the distribution of the vaccine as well. Is that going to take time? But we do know that risk sentiment is settling with clarity on the presidential election. And speaking of the outcome of that election, is solar, China stocks and infrastructure likely to be the biggest winners during Biden's term as the 46th U.S. president? So a lot of ground to cover today. Let's first welcome Arun Pai, Chief Strategy Officer at Flow. Arun, what was your first reaction when you heard the COVID-19 vaccine news?
Oh, it was fantastic, right? I mean, forgetting about investing and finance and all of that, it was just great to be able to travel again, to be able to be safe when you're going from, you know, your apartment or your house to the neighborhood grocery store.
Absolutely.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. It did feel like, a shared moment of happiness across the world. All right. The global stock rally seems to have slowed slightly. The signs of stalling in Asia today. But JP Morgan says broadly it expects the S&P 500 to surpass its target of 3,600 by the end of 2020, rise about 10% to reach 4,000 by early next year, adding that the equity benchmark has good potential to move even higher to 4,500 by the end of next year. That represents a 24% rally from here. So I'll ask you what my question was at the start of this program. Are we just at the start of a longer rally, Arun?
I mean, while I do agree with that report, Michelle, I sadly do not have a crystal ball to like pinpoint where exactly the S&P index or whatever will end up. But I think there are three main factors to why there could be or why there should be a rally in equities, at least. First and foremost, you know, the U.S. election saga is hopefully behind us. Contrary to what President Trump is tweeting literally a couple of hours back that he still won, hopefully, you know, the transition process will be relatively smooth, which is a little bit of a question mark. And I think the markets have rightly discounted that quite substantially. So just having a more quote unquote traditional president in place, we can hope that geopolitical relationships across the Atlantic, be it with the EU, be it with China, et cetera, should be improving at least for the foreseeable future. And markets obviously like stability. The vaccine, which we talked about right in the beginning, you know, fantastic news. While it was expected, at the end of the day, just having some concrete numbers that come out saying it's 90% efficient, with a number of other pharma companies being on like phase 3 trials for a proper COVID vaccine, is fantastic news. Not just for, you know, Main Street, obviously that relates to Wall Street. So one can hope that, you know, the good news keeps coming in and that will assist the actual economy to recover, not just MNCs, but especially SMEs that have been hit so dramatically because of these shutdowns. And last but not least, and dare I say probably the most important aspect of this all, is we have inflation still being very low. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the Fed is continuing to keep interest rates extremely low for the foreseeable future. So from that perspective, all those three factors lead to a potential rise in the stock market. Now, obviously, the question is valuation, but like, who are we kidding, right? Like, valuation is so far behind in investors' minds right now. We can probably skip that topic completely. So from all the three aspects, it seems like there'll be a good rally toward the end of the year and highly probably in 2021 too.
All right, you're right. I had to go to Donald Trump's Twitter page to read that tweet you were referring to. Yeah, just an hour ago, he's claiming to easily have won in Pennsylvania and Michigan, yes, claiming his poll watchers or observers were not allowed to watch or observe. Oh, my goodness me. So what do you think is the most significant short-term risk?
see, that's the biggest scary thing where, so the way typically U.S. elections work, like once the post, obviously the election date, typically you get the announcement of a U.S. president that evening itself. And then there's a transition team within the government where certain funds are released to the incoming president so he or she can start setting up their full team and the transition of power can take place smoothly. And that's the biggest fear factor that I have right now where, I mean, no jokes, right? Like regardless of 90% efficiency and all of that, we can see numbers across the US and Europe spiking to all-time highs. So there has to be a proper transition of power in place so that the required committees can be formed, the required policies can be started to be discussed. And without the release of those funds until an official president-elect has been put in place, that will be extremely difficult. So I think that's one big question mark, that if this actually carries on post the December, you know, House of Representatives voting from their respective states, and if this carries on till post-January, then all sorts of weird nuances of the Constitution comes out where each state has two votes, and that could potentially mean that Trump still stays in power, and the whole thing gets thrown into a massive mess. Now, you know, not to be fear-mongering or anything, it still seems very highly likely that President-elect Biden will be able to transition into power. But from the perspective of investing, it's just something to carefully look at and see what the latest developments will be to ensure that while, you know, Jan first week is when the official transition takes place, whether Biden and his team can set up shop properly to ensure that they can hit the ground running come Jan.
Absolutely. Or, you know, lose their running start, which all presidents up to this point have been able to get. Are you at all concerned about the unresolved Senate race? I'm looking at AP results right now, putting the Republican Party at 50, the Democratic Party at 46 seats. It's 51 for a majority.
Right. So as of right now, I believe the Republicans are like one seat ahead, but then there are two runoff elections in Georgia, which are coming up in Jan. And if hypothetically the Democrats can win both of those, then Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will have the deciding vote, thereby leading to Democrats having control over the House, the Senate, and the president's seat, which will obviously make passing laws a much more seamless process. That being said, President-elect Biden has been in the Senate, I think, for like over 30 years. So his ability to try and reach out to the other side and reach a compromise and an understanding, I think that skill set is going to be invaluable for the next 4 years. So it can go both ways, right? Because sure, President-elect Biden received 74, 75 million. The bottom line is President Trump still received 70 million. So the country is still extremely divided. So the aspect of having the Senate potentially being controlled by the Republicans, while that might make certain laws to pass more difficult, in the interest of trying to get the country, and you know, regardless of China's growth, the U.S. is still by far the world's largest economy, having them trying to heal and come together could potentially be a much more longer-term boost for the world economy as a whole.
All right. So investors are always looking for opportunities at any given moment in history. What do you see? It seems cyclicals are the name of the game. Today, yesterday, we were talking about rotation out of tech stocks into stocks that depend on the economy coming back to life. But Wells Fargo, I picked up an interesting note saying Wells Fargo saying the outperformance for bank stocks, you know, the KBW bank index popped more than 13% earlier this week. And so Wells Fargo saying the outperformance for bank stocks could continue and it's time for investors to buy in. What do you make of that? Are banks the best buyback stock?
I completely agree. Like banks are something that I have been scaling into for quite a while now on the back of a couple of things. Firstly, they're trading at very cheap multiples, right? Like single digit PE, fraction of book value. And by this, I'm not referring to European bank stocks because they have a lot of idiosyncratic risk going on because they've truly not recovered post, the global financial crisis. I'm more referring to U.S. bank stocks and back home, Singapore. So they're trading at very cheap multiples. Sure, inflation is low right now. Interest rates, the short end of the curve, will remain low. But the steepening of the yield curve is something that I'm looking at very closely. What I mean by that is basically the front end interest rate curve, let's say less than 1 year, continues to stay as close to zero as what it is, because that's what the Fed has set it at. But the back end of the curve, like 20-year, 30-year interest rates, have starting to see, you know, a reasonable uptick in interest. And that steepening of the yield curve is very, very beneficial to banks. Why is that? Because when, you know, all of us put our money into banks, we are expecting a certain return on our deposits. If the banks are able to keep that return at basically 0%, which is what we've been receiving for the past 5, 8, 10 years, give or take. But on the other hand, when you have corporates and other SMEs and other people who are borrowing money from banks, they typically look to access capital for a duration of like 5 years, 10 years, even 30 years. So the ability of a bank to basically access the cost of capital through deposits being very low, yet lend out money at an extremely or at a higher price, leads them to create that net interest margin or NIM. And that's a very key factor to the profitability of banks. So as the steepness of the yield curve increases, one can hopefully see banks try to monetize that a lot better. And of course, general growth of the economy, right? This whole COVID situation coming to hopefully ending very soon. And thereby that, you know, banks should be a very interesting sector that investors should definitely be looking out for.
So I was also reading Jeremy Siegel's remarks, longtime market bull, saying that even though there are expectations that COVID could intensify and numbers worsening in the U.S., that things could get worse during the winter time, he is predicting that value stocks are going to be outperforming growth stocks. I'm not sure what his timeline is. We do know the vaccine is bringing forward the timeline of recovery. But broadly, do you agree with this, that value stocks are likely to outperform as we look to 2021?
Jeremy Siegel is like one of the greatest value investors of all time, right? So whatever he says, it definitely there's heat to like pay attention to what the person is saying. And to some extent, let's be honest, right? Like value stocks in the past 10 years have had a really miserable run because a lot of hot money has been chasing hot stocks, the tech sector. And those tech sectors, while they took like a bit of a beating in, from Feb to March, they're the ones that basically propped up the entire index. So from that perspective, is there going to be a longer term shift out of these hot sectors of tech and into value stocks? Potentially, but at the end of the day, you know, forgetting about just putting a title to a certain group of stocks, be it value, be it growth, be it momentum, cyclical. The bottom line is an equity is valued by all the expected future cash flows of the company discounted till today. So from that perspective, and this is a question that was asked to like Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's right-hand man, quite extensively, is like, people were like, oh, you know, like Warren Buffett was a true value investor. And then you came into his life and convinced him that growth stocks priced at attractive or priced at a reasonable multiple is more beneficial to an investor than the very traditional value stock picking of it trading at like fractions of your balance sheet, et cetera. Right. To which this is exactly the reply that he gave, right? Like all a value or what the share price or the market cap of an equity is today is nothing but the future value of the expected earnings discounted till today. So from that perspective, are there certain headwinds that technology stocks are going through right now? Absolutely. If you look at what's happening in China, what's happening in the US, this whole monopolistic regime that's being created by these huge tech platforms, that's causing a bit of concern to tech to the tech investors. Flip side, in terms of multiples, expected future earnings of these more traditional value plays like banking stocks, like infrastructure stocks, etc., there seems to be some interesting pockets of places where money could be deployed at attractive valuation. So I think from that perspective, I'm not so sure about whether there's going to be a long-term switch out of, your Alibaba, Google, Facebook, like your whole FANG in a universe or the Chinese equivalent universe. Mm-hmm. But to some extent, I do feel that investors should be looking at these unloved stocks over the past 5 to 10 years to at least try and allocate some amount of their portfolio to that.
All right. Speaking of portfolio, do you think that do you have any doubts about infrastructure stocks being a winner as Biden takes on the mantle of 46th U.S. president? How can we best position a Biden portfolio, and where do infrastructure stocks sit in that portfolio? I was looking at Jim Cramer's recommendations of solar energy stocks and infrastructure as his Biden basket of stocks. What do you think?
I mean, firstly, I don't think investors should purely, dictate their investing policies based on a president, right? Because if you look at, you mentioned the 46th president, right? And if you look back over the entire course, there have been Republicans, there have been Democrats, and overall, the U.S. economy stock market has done fantastically well. Mm. What it's not treated well are people who try to keep going in and out of certain sectors, in and out of certain stocks, just because they feel that that's the flavor of the month. Mm-hmm. And typically, the market always wins in that situation and the investor doesn't, mm-hmm. right? So from a longer term perspective, it's important to, pay heed to that. That being said, though, from a longer term perspective of infrastructure stocks, it's interesting because, the U.S. has truly not been able to keep up to its quote-unquote first world country status, right? If you look at Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, so many cities in China, the quality of infrastructure has far outstripped that of the U.S. But this is a very sensitive topic there because of the whole tax implication. Right. And this is exactly what the Democrats kind of are wanting, where they raise the tax, especially for the rich people, and raise taxes potentially in general across the board. Mm. And at the same time, try to pump that money into infrastructure and trying to help the lesser affluent segments of society. So in this potentially probability wise, this split House versus Senate situation that's going to be occurring in the U.S., it'll really depend, this Biden's portfolio is going to be highly dependent on his ability to convince some of his friends in the Senate to ensure that, these are the laws that make sense for the country as a whole. Let's not just stick to our individual party perspective of being left or right. So I think I have full confidence and faith in the fact that he will be able to pull that off. Mm. He is not as polarizing a candidate as, leave alone Trump, but to even some extent Obama too, right? Because this guy has been in the Senate. He knows how the place works. He has a lot of really close friends across the aisle. So from that perspective, if he can manage to pull that off, infrastructure and energy stocks, not just the Biden portfolio, but in the longer term portfolio, I think does make a lot of sense for investors.
All right. It does make sense because people are saying even if there is a Democratic sweep and that infrastructure bill is passed, when that money actually gets spent and is passed on to the companies involved in the building of that infrastructure remains debatable. All right, I want to turn now to China. Gosh, $280 billion in market value wiped out for China's tech giants as those regulatory concerns mount. Alibaba shares plunged nearly 10% in Hong Kong trade yesterday. Investors sold off amid concerns about these new regulations. Chinese regulators seem to have now Alibaba and Tencent squarely in their sights. The antitrust watchdog in China has unveiled new draft rules that single out these platforms for potentially monopolistic behavior. And this, of course, on the heels of Ant Group's suspended IPO just last week. And we know today is a deadline for Chinese social media giant TikTok to finalize the sale of its U.S. operations. What a tangled web that is. But first up, what do you think Chinese regulations mean for Chinese tech stocks?
It's very surprising to me, to be honest, because the way the Chinese economy works or the way Chinese government and the regulation, et cetera, works is quite different from that of the U.S. Because the way, China would like to control everything in the center, from the center. And it's so much easier to control, say, 3 or 5 companies than letting a whole bunch of smaller companies running around doing their own thing in their respective provinces or states, et cetera. So from that perspective, it's quite interesting to see them clamping down on this these larger tech behemoths. The flip side, though, is have these companies, the likes of Alibaba, JD, Tencent, have they potentially become even bigger than the China Communist Party? And I think that fear really set in when these numbers of Ant Financial came to light. But even before that, right, like Alibaba, it's got 881 million active MAUs, like million active users, which is basically, you know, most of the Chinese population. These are these mass, even larger, I would say, maybe not in terms of market cap, but in terms of being able to connect with the individual Chinese citizen. Dare I say that these large Chinese companies have even more of a stronghold on that than their U.S. counterparts. And I think it's that fear that set in that, sure, we can try and control Alibaba, which kind of proved to be not true when Jack Ma came out and he spoke his what was on his mind, right? And that's something that just has never occurred in China over the past like 50 years. So when we are seeing this kind of true power being created literally from the ground up, if I'm not mistaken, like Alibaba started as like 13 people in a room and Jack Ma telling them this is going to be the vision of the entire company. So I think the Chinese government is in a very difficult place right now of how do they ensure this control from the center can still take place while at the same time not completely destroying the tech ingenuity of the homegrown companies for them to be able to expand overseas, be it in Africa, be it in Europe, or for that matter, pretty much any country that will allow them to set up shop over there. And I think that's something that's it's going to be, you know, we really don't know how this is going to be played out over the next 5 to 10 years, be it Chinese anti-monopoly regulation, or for that matter, even in the EU or the US, right? The entire tech sector as a whole, people seem to have, you know, kind of had it up to here with the fact that anyone can just say anything on Facebook or Twitter, and suddenly their reach can be like 200, 300 million, a billion people. In China specifically, the exact same thing is going on. But the big difference is the US and EU have proper policies and stuff in place on how to try to mitigate that. How that will work out in China is something that's going to be quite interesting to see, I feel.
I was even surprised to see China saying they would launch a crackdown after Singles Day shopping on illegal cases, you know, and they've warned the firms against inflating their sales figures, cheating customers as well. So it does look like they're trying to walk a line of reining in anti-monopolistic behavior, keeping consumers' well-being, consumer rights in sight as well. It's a tough line to walk. Are you expecting more intensifying of such efforts to exert pressure on these rapidly growing internet firms?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the timing that is something that is really bewildering to market participants, because one set of regulation came out right before Singles Day, which was going to be the big show and tell of the billions of dollars that have been spent by Chinese consumers. You know, it was going to be a feather in the cap of the Chinese government, but they tried to clamp that down right before. And IPO, I mean, this is something the world over, right? You're dealing with the likes of Vanguard, BlackRock, trillion-dollar institutions who were desperately wanting a piece of the pie, but not to be, right? The Chinese regulation came in and clamped that down too. So I think the timing is something that's really interesting, where they're more than happy to assert their authority and power and tell these larger tech companies, hold off a minute, you know, put your foot back on the brake. We are the ones still in control of China as a country. And I think that's something that's quite scary, and the market has reacted accordingly to that, right? Because before, you typically used to have a very nice pop-up in the share prices on the back of Singles Day, because the numbers were truly spectacular, right? Like this, it put Black Friday, Thanksgiving holidays, Christmas holidays combined in the U.S. to shame.
Yeah.
So it's very strange.
All right, one final question before we let you go, Arun. Today's the deadline for that TikTok sale, for TikTok to finalize their sale of their US operations. I know you say you don't have a crystal ball, but I have my doubts. What's going to happen in the next 24 hours or so, Arun?
Really putting me on the spot. My personal take is I think they will come up to some kind of a interim compromise of being able to sell some parts of its technology or some aspect of U.S. governance to ensure that they don't try and, you know, step on the toes too much of U.S. regulation. So I think from that perspective, that will go through. And, you know, I think in the long run, I really do hope that the Chinese economy opens up a lot more. It becomes more reciprocal in nature. U.S. economies, the U.S. tech companies can go and set up shop over there to try and like level out the playing field. Gone are the days of like 30, 40 years ago where China had to try and keep those firewalls in place. They need to be more accepting and willing to the likes of Google and Facebook to come and set up shop over there. If that does not happen, I do feel that in the long run, be it, you know, President-elect Biden coming to power through some weird, miraculous chance that Trump stays in power. Either way, I do feel that the clampdown of Chinese technology companies in the U.S. and Europe will continue to suffer if they don't have reciprocating agreements.
Terrific insights, as always. He's Arun Pai, Chief Strategy Officer at Flow. Thank you, Arun.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.